Good morning.
Good morning.
This is one of these talks that I wind up giving sometimes, which is a bunch of notes that never really got made into a formal talk. But it has to do with the practice circle and the email that Bill sent out regarding that practice circle. And just to remind all of us, he made reference to a talk that I gave a couple of weeks ago where I quoted D.W. Winnicott, a famous psychoanalyst and who's also a pediatrician. And Winnicott said, "The mother's function is to create an environment for her baby to be safe to be nobody. To be safe to be nobody." He also said, "And a place where we can lose ourselves without being lost." Now that, there's a whole, you probably are aware of this, it's sort of fallen out of favor these days, but there's this whole psychoanalytic movement and there were a number of different schools. And psychoanalysis was basically teaching us or saying, and working with patients or clients, that we learn who we are very early in life in terms of our relationship with our mother. It's the interaction between the mother and the child that teaches the child become a separate self and to teach the child who that separate self is. And Winnicott was sort of going against that prevailing belief when he said that the mother's function is to create an environment for her baby to be safe to be nobody, not just be a reflection of the parent or the parents. So as I was reading over this, I just let my mind wander, you know, so see how am I reacting to this? What thoughts come up? What feelings come up? So the question comes up, what does it mean to be safe? And I guess another part of this is, this is not a talk where I'm trying to provide any answers or anything to this. It's really raising questions. But when I was thinking about this, I had this vision. This vision came to me, not like a big spiritual vision, but this idea in my head, this mental picture of a big warehouse. And on the shelves of this warehouse were these boxes. And on these boxes were names, you know. There was Bill's box was there, and Dana's box was there, and Carl's box was there, and Carol's box was there. All these boxes, you know. And on the outside of the box were a list of labels of who each person, who each of us was. Smart, tall, athletic, funny, depressed, happy, lovable, straight, gay, on and on and on. This list of who we are, our identification. And this identification comes from our family, friends, colleagues, fellow Zen students, and society, culture. But what I realized was that really we all reside in a box. And we are defined, who we are is defined by the characteristics listed on that box. And I think we all know that people have a hard time if we don't live up to the characteristics on the outside of that box, including in relation to ourselves. We're not just defined externally, but we take these in, these definitions of who we are, and feel as if we're not ourselves if we don't live up to that definition. Carl is a Zen teacher, never gets angry. And then, of course, when I do, you know, there's a part of me that feels shame. How can I be a Zen teacher and lose my temper? You know, that's the box. So the question is about safety. Where is it safe to step outside of that box? To become boxless? To become nobody? To become no self? Where is it safe? Well, I would like to think that we all work together to make the Zendo and the practice a place to become nobody, to become selfless, to give up the constriction of that identity that we carry wherever we go. So one question you might want to ask yourself while we sit before we do our practice circle later is, have you ever had the experience of being unself-consciously present? Or as Winnicott says, losing yourself without being lost. I remember once a long time ago, I can only juggle two balls now, but I wanted to learn how to juggle. It was fascinating to me. And so I had somebody teach me how to juggle. And in the beginning, I was very self-conscious, could not get the hang of it whatsoever. And I remember feeling embarrassed. And also, you know, saying to myself, telling myself, I bet this person is going to change their opinion of me if I don't get this. They're going to think I'm a klutz, that I'm a dope, something negative. You know, this is the self-talk that was going on. And then the self-talk started to get to, as I put more and more pressure on myself, that there was something important about my being, you know, somebody who could do this. I became more and more tight and less free to be nobody. And then one day we went to do this, and for whatever reasons, I don't know, you know, like Suzuki Roshi says, we sit become accident prone. I became accident prone this day. And all of a sudden, it just happened. I was able to juggle three balls. But I was not present. There was just the juggling happened. And then, you know, about 10 seconds into it, I realized I can juggle. But there was that moment or several moments where there was just juggling, just being nobody. I was not defined, you know, by all these things on my box. Just put the box aside. And so another question that I'd like to just throw out is, what are the consequences to us? What are the consequences to us of only living our lives as somebody? Bill raised another question from the Tony Packer quote that he included about the apparent, this is the quote, I think, or paraphrase of the quote, about the apparent distinction, the nobody we can become during our sitting practice, and the actor, and I would say the somebody we become in our social world of what Tony refers to as loveless relationships. The nobody we can become during our sitting practice, and the somebody we become in our social world. The Zendo nobody, and the loveless social world somebody. So another question would be, are these different people? Now, you know, I've given probably dozens of talks about koans over the years, but there are different types of koans, and they apply to this discussion. Some koans are invitations to be nobody. They require us to empty the box. And, you know, the classic ones that we use are, does a dog have Buddha nature? What is the sound of one hand? What was your face before your mother was born? These are invitations to be nobody. There are other koans, many koans, that ask us to be somebody. And the one that popped into my mind when I was writing down these notes is, when you get to the top of the 100-foot pole, step off. When you finally get to be nobody, can you be somebody? Can you go back into the world? So anyway, I hope to stir you up this morning instead of just sitting here being dead silent. So sit with the questions. Are there any questions that may have come up from you for the email? And then hopefully this will be a lively practice circle that Bill leads us in. Thank you.